This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Jim Ganley, yeah, here we are again.
And hey, we want to put out that kind of podcast challenge again. For many, many years, the local programs from Catholic Radio Indy have been available as podcasts on our website, which is CatholicRadioIndy.org. But just recently, in the last month, 6 weeks, something like that, we've expanded, and those same podcasts are now available at Apple Podcasts, at Google Podcasts, at Spotify, and a whole bunch of others. So wherever you go that you normally listen to podcasts, try this out and then let us know what happens. We have two different pages out there, I guess you'd say, or two different programs out there. If you type in The Catholic Cave, you'll get right to the podcast of our Catholic Cave programs. And for the Faith in Action programs, like you're listening to right now, type in first Catholic Radio Indy, Catholic Radio Indy, and then Faith in Action. And you probably won't even need all that. The most all of those search engines have a little help that once you get to where you've typed in some of the letters, it tries to help you out. So Catholic Radio Indy, dash Faith in Action, or Catholic Cave at any place you get podcasts, and let us know what you find out.
And since we're talking about like new media and digital media, all that, I just want to give a plug out to our Facebook page. If you are on the Facebook platform, we are there too. It's the official Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page, so you can like us there. And we put a lot of information there that you might not hear on the air, but we put some other things over there. So if you want to follow us over there, that would be great. Well, it seems like every month there's some month that we're celebrating this or celebrating that. Well, I didn't know this until recently, but March is Disability Awareness Month, and today we're going to be talking with Erin Jeffries. She is of the Office of Catechesis from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and she is the Coordinator of Ministries to Persons with Special Needs. So welcome, Erin. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me, Jim and Bridget. Good to be here.
Well, you know, I'm curious now, does your office minister to, do you concentrate on helping parishes, or do you work with the Catholic educators in the Catholic schools? Can you give me that distinction? Do you do both or just one or the other?
Sure. No, good question. My background is primarily religious education, catechesis, and theology. So I really do most of my work with the parishes. The schools do a wonderful job. They've got some great folks up there with a real heart for meeting those needs as well. But my focus is definitely more with the parishes.
And that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure that I was on the right track with that as we go forward in this interview. And so would you say that you help with sacramental preparation, or what are some of the challenges maybe that parishes might face when trying to meet the needs of people with different maybe learning styles or just different disabilities? What are some of the challenges that parishes face? And maybe maybe we talk about what a special need is. I mean, because that's a huge category, right?
Sure. As far as, you know, what a disability is or what a special needs, I honestly really like the definition that I first heard through the National Catholic Partnership on Disability when I first started. They say that disabilities are the normal and expected outcome of the risks, stresses, and strains of the living process.
Wow.
And I really like that.
Say that again. That's great. Say that again.
Yeah. Disabilities are the normal and expected outcome of the risks, stresses, and strains of the living process.
Wow, that does cover some territory, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it really emphasizes just how extraordinarily common the experience is. 20% of Hoosiers really identify as living with a disability of some sort, and in some cases of particular disabilities, there's more, a lot more than that. I think of what a lot of people are thinking when they say special needs or disability might be more of like an impairment, which is just something that a factor that affects to a greater or lesser degree some everyday function.
Yeah, so like The thing that comes to mind is maybe someone that has a visible physical disability, like maybe in a wheelchair or blind, like the obvious ones, like a hearing impairment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those are the first ones that come to mind. But it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Yes. Yeah, it could be a physical or sensory or cognitive or developmental. It could be genetic. It could be mental or emotional or a combination of several of those things. So it's, you know, some are very visible and recognizable, and others you won't know unless somebody tells you.
Now, are those handled individually by each parish, or does the archdiocese have some kind of guidelines or standards that they require of parishes?
Well, it's really ideally handled kind of on a person-by-person basis, just because really each person is unique. You know, you can meet two people who have the same diagnosis. You might see two people who say they are on the autism spectrum, and you've met two people on the autism spectrum. Like, there's some things that might be similar and other things that might be very different. So we have some we do definitely offer some guidelines that have actually come to us through the USCCB. There's guidelines for celebrating the sacraments with persons with disabilities, for example. And back in 1978, the U.S. bishops actually put out a statement, a pastoral statement on persons with disabilities, which really truly just laid out both some of the needs and really that holistic view of ministering with and for persons with disabilities, including access, liturgical access, religious access to religious education, but also just really having good, safe, clean housing and opportunities for work and, you know, all of those things. It really was a great holistic view. And so that's really kind of the founding guideline that I would say is offered to parishes. Basically, the word is like they are part of our family. They have as much a right as any of the baptized to be in this place. We will do our best to make sure that they can thrive there.
Now, in the secular society, when it comes to special needs, it seems like the pendulum kind of swings back and forth to where people with special needs should be included in the mainstream and allowed to do everything with the mainstream, like maybe in some of the schools, and then the other extreme would be, no, they have to have special schools and special services apart from the mainstream. Where does your program figure in there?
I would say that our goal and hope is always being part of, you know, say a peer group, for example. The goal is basically to not isolate people any more than is absolutely necessary. There are some cases where a person, you know, even our sacramental guidelines, which were, those were revised back in 2017, they still make, you know, that point is still in there that for some, the nature of their disability means that they really do need a very particular environment and support, or maybe even just to be at home, you know, taught at home. But our goal is always to not isolate people, you know, just to meet their needs, but to not necessarily separate or isolate.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about how you support parishes in this effort, I guess. What are some of the things that you do to kind of support parishes? I'm sure you get calls, you know, maybe one-on-one, but talk a little bit about your work and how you do that.
Well, it's definitely changed in this past year. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Really, yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, I'll get a call from a parish catechetical leader or sometimes a family member. Just, you know, they have, say, a student who has presented themselves for sacramental preparation, and they're wondering about resources in order to best meet their needs. And sometimes it's a case of, oh, yeah, here's this one, you know, here's a resource in American Sign Language, or here's a resource that's geared towards someone who has autism or just who very much needs that visual hands-on support. Other times it's really just a matter of a little bit of creativity, thinking outside the box. Yeah, they can go on this retreat with their peers. Let's think of some ways that we can make that a better experience for them. You know, give them more breaks, allow them some flexibility with standing and sitting and smaller group, whatever. So it's a variety. I mean, sacramental prep is definitely one of the biggest sets of questions that I get. If a family reaches out to me, most often it's usually they're looking, they've heard about, say, our spread groups, and they're looking for some way to be involved.
Talk about that. What does that stand for, and tell us what it is?
Well, spread stands for Special Religious Development. It's a program that actually was developed. I'm trying to remember how long ago. I want to say 1996, but it might be farther back. I think it's further back than that. It's a small faith sharing group. It's designed with children, teens, adults who have intellectual developmental disabilities in mind. It really is something that it's very experientially based. It's something that is very concrete. There's usually some sort of item that the lesson revolves around, and they provide material for that each year for those groups to meet twice a month. There's other groups that have actually started branching out and kind of forming their own curriculum, you know, whether it's around prayer or the saints or some studying the Bible. So it's been really neat to see how it's flowered, just as the groups, you know, some of these have been around for a really long time, since like 1997, and they're just like, you know, I kind of want to study this. And so they've really started kind of making it their own at this point, which is kind of neat.
So how many parishes would you say, like maybe in the Indianapolis mm-hmm. metro area, have these spread groups, like maybe operational, or do they just pop mm-hmm. up as the need arises, or are they kind of ongoing, or... Can you think of any parish off the top of your head that has one of these?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So in our archdiocese, we have, if I'm remembering them correctly, we have 12.
Mm-hmm.
But that includes, there's two that are further south, one in Seymour and one in Tell City, which is awesome. And St. Meinrad. So those have been around for a while. We have 10 groups in kind of the Indy metro area.
That's really super cool. What, Jimmy?
Now, so the city's pretty well covered.
That's awesome.
I was wondering, as we're talking, whether there are special masses maybe for the hard of hearing, special masses for the blind on a diocesan level, or are those, again, parish things?
Those typically happen at the parish level. Some parishes have... again, traditionally they've held masses, their own kind of disabilities awareness mass or masses for their spread groups. Again, this year, that's not happening so much. But there, we have a couple of parishes, I'm hoping for more, that pretty regularly offer a mass that's interpreted in American Sign Language. And when I have my disabilities awareness mass, I was trying to make a point to have an interpreter there. We have a couple of people who come who utilize that, but also just kind of as a model.
And things that you just take away, that you take for granted, if you hear, you don't think about, you know, going to mass, but then not being able to hear without having an interpreter, just things that you take for granted. So
right.
That's
what
really
going to get out of it. You're going to see a lot of things that don't make much sense.
Well, if you read lips, you know, you got to make sure that the person's, you know, facing you, right?
Right.
That's for sure. Okay. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Disability Awareness Month and what the Catholic okay. Church and the Indianapolis metro area is doing to reach out.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or, if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes. Throughout Lent, you're invited to join us for the Stations of the Cross every Friday afternoon at 4:45 p.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
You
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we are talking with Erin Jeffries. She is the coordinator in the Office of Catechesis for the Ministries to Persons with Special Needs. And we're talking about March is the Disability Awareness Month. And I wanted to ask you, Erin, what's it been like in this past year with COVID? How has that impacted your work in reaching out to this community?
Well, it's kind of amazing. In some ways, it's been busier than ever.
I bet.
There's been really two big effects I think I can point to, though. First, mental health outreach. I collaborate on that with the Office of Human Life and Dignity in this particular area, and it's just been a huge ongoing need for healing and support, and you know, even among just some of the people who we work with. You know, parish catechetically, it's a stress. It's been a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And a difficult year. So that's just been one big thing. The second is really in-person gatherings, particularly for this community. They haven't to speak of taken place since last March.
Mm-hmm.
The last big community event that we had was our dinner dance, mm-hmm. March of almost a year ago,
mm-hmm.
a little more than a year ago. But there have really been some absolutely wonderful developments, both in deaf ministry, I would say, and in virtual outreach, as well as opportunities for more one-on-one personal outreach. So that I think, kind of in a nutshell, I think I kind of sum up the year.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think, and we've talked about that here on Catholic Radio, just the things that, you know, we've all done to really reach out and to come up with new ways to reach out to people, you know, through digital media or whatever we could, you know, letter writing, you know, calling, whatever, just to really make an effort to do that. I'd love to hear, we talked just a little bit on the break about caregivers and how caregivers can burn out too. Talk about what a caregiver might experience, you know?
Yeah. They
or maybe not even think that they are a caregiver, or maybe not even categorize them as that themselves as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you might be, it might be someone who's caring for a parent, who's helping them with really their day to day activities, grocery shopping, getting them to doctor's appointments. You know, you're doing all these lists of things and maybe not realizing all that you are doing and not putting yourself in that category, but wondering maybe why you're so exhausted at the end of the day or at the end of the week. And it's been really exaggerated when a lot of those support things, programs maybe that someone was going to during the day, therapies that were happening, weren't happening for a long time, and now they're happening differently, maybe virtually as opposed to in person, which is better or worse for some.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's a huge, huge adjustment that's really ongoing. So there's been some really great, I've been learning more about supports for this in this particular area. We actually have a really good support system, and I'd say this one is particularly geared towards people who are really caregivers for those who are, I think, 55 and older.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Monica Woodsworth, actually. She has a monthly caregiver support meeting, and they were meeting in person. Now they're meeting virtually, but it's every month, and she does wonderful things. It just allows conversation with people who are experiencing many of the same things, and doing things like, say, maybe bringing in a music therapist, just different experiences to kind of help build up and support and maybe refresh a little bit. The other thing, which we have, one parish has begun, and I'm really hoping to make some contact with other parishes, is a really wonderful, you mentioned before, faith-based caregiving support. There's one called Nourish for Caregivers, and they provide all the materials for a monthly meeting. you literally only need one person who's willing to facilitate, and they don't necessarily need to have particular experience. They just kind of lead people through the experience and sharing and all of that. And they've really walk you through. They're very good about supporting, getting it started, making sure that you are comfortable. But they also have made that so that it could be very easily done virtually or in person based on the needs of the group. But in addition, online communities tend to be really important too, because one of the hardest things for caregivers to do right now especially is get away for an hour or two.
Right.
Respite can be very hard to come by. So just having a variety of resources. And again, both the caregiver support and Nourish offer some really, really good things in that route as well. So some people, if you realize that you are doing more for these people, and there's a reason why you're so tired, and there are some things that can help you help you recharge.
So if people wanted to learn more about that particular resource, the Nourish, how would they find out about that? Could they connect with your website or with you to get that information, or is there another website
they could go out to?
What do you suggest for that?
They can certainly get in touch with me. I'm always happy to talk about it. I'm trying to pull up the website here actually quickly so I can give the actual correct one. It's nourishforcaregivers.com. So they can kind of look up, there's tons of resources there on that website. So that I'm happy to talk about it, but just checking out their own website too.
That will give
you a lot of good resources.
That is really awesome. Now I want to ask you another question about resources. You have other resources too. Could you talk a little bit about the resources that you have in terms of catechesis for people? Because there's a lot of different ways that you can deliver the faith, especially with sacramental preparation, that maybe some are on your website, maybe some that you have at your fingertips. Talk a little bit about those resources.
Yeah. Well, really, the resources that I offer usually just depends on the needs presenting themselves. We do have some really good resources now available for sacramental preparation in American Sign Language. Ascension Press just came out with a wonderful series on the sacraments called Hands of Grace. So it's voiced and captioned. So, I mean, it's just a tremendous resource, even for adult formation. Like, anyone really could get a lot out of it. There's some wonderful sacramental preparation for students who maybe have a greater need for visual or hands-on learning. Loyola Press has been kind of a front leader as far as providing both hands-on materials for catechesis and these specific kits for preparing for the primary sacraments, reconciliation, First Communion, and confirmation in a way that is really accessible and helps the learner express what they need to express to receive that sacrament. I mentioned a document before, the Guidelines for Celebration Sacraments with Persons with Disabilities. It really kind of gives some good pointers, which are from canon law, just to kind of point out, like, this is what's necessary. So, and sometimes it's simpler than we can make it more complicated than it needs to be. and so those kits really help with that.
And a lot of these programs, you know, were designed for maybe your typical person, mm-hmm. not with special needs in mind. So then, you know, you're trying to have people jump through hoops that they just wasn't really designed for them. So it's great to have these other resources that you're mentioning.
And more and more, the publishers are integrating adaptation ideas mm-hmm. and things into their text. You know, our Sunday Visitor is a great example of that. So they are very, very much becoming more cognizant of that need, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really great because the parish can just purchase the whole program, but like you said, it can be adapted for pretty much whoever you need and giving those suggestions, because they, you know, a DRE or a, you know, pastoral leader may not know exactly how to make those adaptions if they're not trained in that specific area.
Exactly.
That's where you come in.
You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be willing and a little bit flexible.
Now, for Disability Awareness Month, you're actually going to be having a mass, but that's going to happen a little bit later in the year. Talk about that event that you have.
Yeah, so we've typically held our mass in April. It's been the Sunday after Easter. Just for disabilities awareness, we've invited families in, shared resources, that sort of thing. We just because of COVID this year, we're having it a little bit more, a little bit later in the year, until June 13th, just to give people a chance. If you know those who want to have the vaccine, will have the chance to get that, and you know that's really the more towards summer. So really, just hoping for that to be our first real opportunity to invite people back together as a community.
Now, you also have a Facebook page, too, so if people want to connect with you there, why don't you give that, how do people find you there?
Sure. Our Facebook page is Arch Indy Special Needs Ministry, if I can pull that up, so I'll make sure that I'm not messing that up.
Arch Indy Special Needs Ministry, and then if people want to get more information, that's one way to connect, and then if you could give us your website again, that'd be great.
Sure. So the website is www.archindy.org/special-needs. That'll be a great way to connect to a lot of the, especially resources.
And we just have a little under a minute left. What's this been like for you to be in this ministry, working with this special group of people? What's it like for you and just supporting the parishes?
Well, honestly, I would say, you know, it wasn't necessarily what I had in mind when I was going through school, but, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, you know, immediately was a click for me and just a Holy Spirit moment. And I just love working with this community of people.
Well, God has a way of getting us to the place that we need to be, so.
Absolutely.
Our guest today has been Erin Jeffries. She is the coordinator of ministries to persons with special needs. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.